got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little Fog Hat?
City of Seattle. And the surrounding Puget Sound area. All right, it's the final hour of our broadcast week. Got a great batch of awesome audio of the week for you coming up. We'll revisit. Aaron just played a little bit of my interview with Michelle Moore, the wife of Greg Moore, who was killed by the hit-and-run girl, or the alleged hit-and-run girl. I got some audio that I have to share with you that I don't think was going to make awesome audio of the week, but I can't let the afternoon go without you hearing it. How tough is it to be a college kid these days? Oh, my goodness. There were two young men at Arizona State University. They were studying in, I don't know if it was a student center. They both are Caucasian.
So I think I got the bleeps there.
Whoa, I got you on the air there, Nicole.
Oh,
you're trying
okay.
to talk to Chris.
Well, I think I got all the bleeps there.
Oh, wait, do I have to refresh?
No.
Okay, the one that's loaded is bleeped.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
I was just telling Chris to keep his hand on the dump button in case I missed anything.
I think there were three bleeps that I heard. Is that how many bleeps you put in? Okay.
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, so these two boys, young men, college kids, ASU, they're on the second floor of this building, which I guess is the Multicultural Center. And one of they both have their laptops open and they're doing some homework or studying time. And all of a sudden, one of the guys has a sticker on the back of his laptop that says Police Lives Matter. Woo, that did not go well for these two poor kids.
You're wrong.
You have a bad...
You're offensive. Police Lives Matter?
You have the same sticker.
We're just trying to do school.
What?
You guys have the same sticker as the other.
But this is our space.
We've got a Police Lives Matter sticker and we're getting kicked out. Can't do school. You just said we have to leave.
No, I said...
You're making this space uncomfortable.
But you're white. Do you understand what a multicultural space? It means you're not being centered.
White's not a culture?
No, it's not a culture. It's white is not a culture. Say it again to the camera. You think whiteness is a culture?
This is insane.
So anyway, this is the violence that ASU does, and this is the type of people that they protect. Okay?
Okay, I got to pause. Violence. This is the violence that ASU does. Two kids sitting with their laptops, and one of them supports law enforcement. And to this woman, young woman, she considers that violence. It's really something to hear. I mean, just getting inside the minds of these poor woke kids who have been brainwashed by all of their public schooling, but just getting inside their minds like this audio clip does, it's both terrifying, somewhat hilarious, it's disturbing, it's all of those things.
This white man thinks he can...
What'd I do there? I hit a button, doggone it. Jeez. I gotta play the whole thing over again now. Oh, man. Why'd I hit a button? Did I delete it? Can I have delete? No, there it is. No, okay, I got to play it from the beginning. I won't interrupt anymore.
Wait, do you want me to help?
You have a bad...
You're offensive. Police Lives Matter?
You have the same sticker.
We're just trying to do school.
What?
You guys have the same sticker as the other.
But this is our space.
We've got a Police Lives Matter sticker, and we're getting kicked out. Can't do school. You just said we have to leave.
No, I said...
You're making this space uncomfortable.
But you're white. Do you understand what a multicultural space? It means you're not being centered.
White's not a culture?
No.
No, it's not a culture. It's white is not a culture. Say it again to the camera. You think whiteness is a culture?
This is insane.
So anyway, this is the violence that ASU does, and this is the type of people that they protect. Okay, this white man thinks he can take up our space, and this is why we need a multicultural space, because they think they can get away with this.
I'm going to sit here the whole time, and you can find somebody to kick.
That's cool. We're not
kicking you out. We're asking you to leave if you have any consideration for people of color and are marginalized.
Sure, clearly don't.
That I can go?
Yeah, the whole rest of the campus, the second floor, the first floor, the whole MU, every single part of the campus centers you. This is the only space that you're not centered, and you're still trying to center yourself, which is peak white cis male.
I do have to interrupt. What? Center? I've never heard that word used that way. That must come right out of the woke word dice.
You are racist. Your sticker is racist because police, that's a job. You can choose to be a police. I don't choose to be black. Okay? No, you can choose to be a cop. You can choose to kill people with a badge, and you're protecting that, which means that you're racist.
I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to offend you guys.
I know, but this offends us automatically because these people kill people like me and like us, right? So you're promoting our murderers. So please just don't do that.
Sticker affecting you negatively. Just trying to do your
work. Thank you.
So why should that bother you?
Because do you understand that police lives matter was in response to Black Lives Matter?
Okay, the same question as you.
Yep.
Hold on.
Fine. And you have everywhere.
I'm working 60 hours a week while going to school because my parents don't just give me money.
And then it cut off after that. But those poor kids. And I mean all of them. I mean the guys who are being attacked, the girls who are doing the attacking, because they've been so brainwashed and they've had so much phony poison pushed into their heads over the years. And this, by the way, this is an extension of critical race theory about how CRT is all about trying to create hatred between races by trying to divide us, which is a Marxist approach to destroying capitalism. And that is what critical race theory, which is in your kid's school right now in this state, is all about. Unless you're in one of those fortunate few school districts that have banned critical race theory. But that's the result of it right there. People hating each other. Race relations for 30 consecutive years in poll after poll after poll were getting better and better and better and better until 2 years ago. When the critical race theory crowd started taking over and creating as much hatred as possible in our kids for each other, based not on their actions, but on their skin color. It's really, really sad. But that is the way it is for kids in school and college these days. Let's get something a little funnier. Shaquille O'Neal. He does not want to be considered a celebrity anymore.
I don't want to be in that category. They are. They're going freaking insane. Don't call me that anymore. These people are out of their freaking mind. How they treat people, what they do, what they say, that's never been me. I never want to be looked at like that. And, you know, all my life, you know, everyone probably gets stereotyped, but us celebrities, we get stereotyped because most of them celebrities are out of their damn mind. I don't want to do that. I'm a regular person that listened, followed his dreams, made it. But just because I made it don't mean I'm bigger than you. Just because I made it don't mean I'm smarter than you. Just because I have more money than you don't mean that I'm better than you. I've never been that way and I never will be that way. So I don't want to be in that category of people. So when they talk about Shaq, just what you say, he's a nice guy. What else can you be? Is you either nice or you're the A word? And I definitely won't be looked as the A word. I want people to say, bro, he's nice. He didn't have an entourage. his people didn't take my phone because I took a picture and threw it like this. I don't want these celebrities are going freaking crazy, and I don't want to be one. I denounce my celebrityness today.
Today? Right now at this time?
Done with it.
I've always really enjoyed Shaquille O'Neal, but I love him even more after that one. Okay, with all that as mere prelude, let's get to the big lead.
The big lead. Breaking news.
Okay, you heard this in Aaron's newscast and the coverage by Nicole Jennings. I have told you from day one, when it was announced that $1 billion or whatever phony number they traipse out there that was stolen from employment security, from the taxpayers of this state, they lowered the security threshold for 2 weeks and supposed Nigerian scammers came in and stole all of this money. And from day one, I have told you that this was an inside job. Well, I don't know the extent of cases like this that we're going to hear about. But this guy named Reyes de la Cruz III, he's from Moses Lake. He was an employee at ESD. And as an employee, he filed several fake claims for unemployment benefits. He collected for himself $130,000 and he got another $230,000 for friends and relatives who would then allegedly give him kickbacks. And so this will probably be the first of many, I am guessing. But that is an inside job. And I'm going to say something else, too, about our U.S. Attorney's Office. Our acting U.S. Attorney is Tessa Gorman. But I heard Jennings say that he will possibly face decades in prison for this. The U.S. Attorney's Office does not mess around. The last bastion of real law enforcement in our area is the United States Attorney's Office. We have city prosecutors who want to let every single crime go free, every misdemeanor crime and less. We have a county prosecutor who's legalized drugs, who believes a 15-year-old girl who hits a guy intentionally at 50 miles an hour in a vehicle was just playing a prank and trying to bump him and scare him. We let criminals go. Jay Inslee lets all kinds of felons out of prison, many of whom their felony was a gun charge. And then he tells us, we need tougher gun control laws. Oh, but you'll just let them out of prison if we get those tougher laws. We already have tough gun control laws. Just make them serve their sentence. But the U.S. Attorney's Office, they do not mess around. And that's why when that guy tried to barricade cops in the East Precinct and throw a Molotov cocktail in, was trying to burn the cops alive inside the building, the U.S. Attorney's Office got that. And it wasn't like City of Seattle or King County. It wasn't a slap on the wrist. Let them go. They were peaceful protesters. Now, facing 10 years in prison for that. So thank goodness for the U.S. Attorney's Office, which is the last bastion of law enforcement here. So this guy, he was hired as an intake agent in April of 2020. Now explain this to me. I'm just reading from the narrative in this breaking news from the U.S. Attorney's Office. He was hired as an intake agent in April of 2020, and he started skimming the money. He terminated his employment, or his employment was terminated, on October 1st. How can somebody come on a job at Employment Security and immediately know what buttons to push to steal $360,000? You don't just walk into a brand new job and know how to do that. There are so many more layers of this to come, I am convinced. And I've always thought it was an inside job. I don't know if it's the whole billion. Well, they caught one Nigerian in New York City who'd stolen $100,000, but they still have $990,000 to go. This guy, he would get different IDs. He would get the money sent to a debit card. He'd get the debit card sent to Moses Lake, where he was from and where all his friends and family were, and just stole $360,000 from all of us. So let's see how much more is to come. Let's see if the people who lowered the security threshold are involved in the thievery. And then there's one other bit of news that's just coming in. The state of Washington, this is good news. The state of Washington has announced that their revenue forecast is up $1 billion. The Economic and Revenue Forecast Council says that over the next 2 years, they're going to have $1 billion more of our tax dollars. Now, while Jay Inslee continues to jack up our taxes, they should be giving us tax cuts and returning that extra $1 billion to us. But no, they're all crying poverty. No, you got to raise your taxes. It's for the children. So I don't know if that's good news or not. $1 billion of our tax dollars surplus in Olympia. And what that means is they will spend it as fast as they can instead of returning the money to us. Okay, what else we got here? Oh, one more. Back to the sound bites that I have. There apparently were some pregnant women released at the border, and White House spokesperson Jen Psaki was asked about that by Peter Ducey, and Ducey uncorked a doozy.
We're told by our teams on the ground, you guys are releasing pretty much all family units, couples where the woman says that she is pregnant, or single women who say that they are pregnant, and that nobody actually has to take a pregnancy test unless they want to. So,
are you suggesting you don't believe when women say they're pregnant? Is that a big issue, we think, at the border?
Whoa, no, that's breaking news, because we're not supposed to call them women. They're birthing people. We also now know from the woke left that men can get pregnant. I find it very offensive that Jen Psaki said, do you have a problem with women being pregnant? That is so offensive. Men are pregnant. Women and men are birthing people. Women and men and everything in between are birthing people. That's shocking that we have somebody who is just so hateful as the White House spokesperson.
I am not in charge of keeping the border secure.
Do you think pregnant women are posing a big threat to the border?
You tell me.
To the border communities? Is that a big issue?
You tell me.
I'm not aware of pregnant women being a big issue of concern to people at the border. What I will know.
Really? You don't know about anchor babies? It's been an issue forever. You don't know about how every border hospital is facing bankruptcy because of illegal aliens who sneak across the border, have a baby, and then they have their anchor baby to be in the United States illegally. You don't. The White House spokesperson doesn't know about any of that. Oh, I think I did. I just say pregnant women. Dang it. I'm trying to be better. Did you not know that birthing people with their birthing person to be? No, I can't call it a person to be, because that makes it hard to terminate. I'm going to get better at all this. Trust me.
Note for you, Peter, is that, as I said earlier, there is a process. If people cannot be expelled under Title 42 for a range of reasons, some of that is.
Hey, I'm bored now. All right, that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
A couple of hours ago, I had a chance to talk with Michelle Moore, the wife of the man who was killed while jogging on a Sunday morning by, allegedly, a 15-year-old girl. But some of the things our prosecutor said outraged me, outraged the wife, and we'll revisit some of her comments coming up next, right after we check the news here on the Dory Monson Show. One of the most notorious cases in the news the last couple of months was the killing of a man named Greg Moore, 53 years old, lived down in Maple Valley, an avid runner. He had just made a decision a few years ago that he was going to be healthy and live a long life, grandchild on the way, I think November, if I'm not mistaken. And 6 o'clock on a Sunday morning, a car traveling 50 miles an hour hit Greg Moore. According to her family members, a 15-year-old girl who had stolen the car from her godmother was behind the wheel. She said she was going to intentionally hit Greg Moore, sent his body flying through the air. Again, according to family members and charging papers, she laughed about it later, about hitting the man and seeing him fly through the air. I believe this girl should be charged as an adult. A lot of other people, I know you might, because the prosecutor's office has heard from an awful lot of people on this. I talked with Greg Moore's wife, Michelle, a couple of hours ago. And what I did was Dan Satterbrink, for the first time, spoke about his decision to charge her as a child because he had gone through his spokesman. We had talked to the prosecutor's office about this a couple of weeks ago. But Dan Satterbrink spoke exclusively with our news partners at Cairo 7. And so I played a couple of the Dan Satterbrink cuts for Michelle Moore, the wife of the victim. And it was just heartbreaking. I found this appalling.
Juvenile court exists for a reason, and it exists for 15-year-old girls who do stupid things. She didn't intend to kill anybody. There's no proof of that at all. The proof is that she intended to bump him, and we all know how incredibly dangerous that is.
Michelle, she didn't intend to kill Greg. She just intended to bump him at 50 miles an hour.
Yeah, he is making it sound like she is a, you know, normal 15-year-old girl, and that is not the case. This was not the first person she hit. She has never been convicted of anything, but let me tell you, she is not a good girl. She has gotten herself into a lot of trouble, just has been able to evade the law, not get caught for the things that she's done. But I'm getting all sorts of statements from people that know her, and I've seen videos of things that she's done, and she's a bad person, and she's not going to learn anything in less than 6 years.
I found it appalling. And a lot of you commented in the text that Dan Satterbrink sounded more like her defense attorney than the King County prosecutor. And he said that, let me play the rest of these for you. He also said that this girl just didn't know that hitting somebody with a vehicle at 50 miles an hour could be bad. Because this one bothered me horribly as well.
Juveniles are not just little adults. They have brains that don't anticipate consequences.
Okay, he just says, well, she's a juvenile, she has a juvenile brain. Michelle, I have 3 daughters who have gone through their teen years. I have coached hundreds of kids in that age range, and none of them are killers. None of them would think to hit a guy at 50 miles an hour, and he makes it sound like, oh, that could be a common thing for 15-year-olds because they just don't think about consequences.
Yeah, that's not true. I was a kid. I had kids. You know, I mean, my little 6 and 9-year-old nieces know that if you hit a person with a car, even if you're going 10 miles an hour, you can kill a person if you hit them just right. You know, this girl absolutely knew.
A lot of comments in the text line on that Dan Satterbrink comment as well, that she has a 15-year-old brain, she just cannot anticipate consequences. And a lot of people said, wait a second, don't we have a bunch of politicians and a medical community that says 13-year-olds should be able to change their gender without their parents' involvement at all? Why is it for something like that, the juvenile brain can make a life-changing decision that tends to group in fads. You know, there are all kinds of studies that at some schools it just is kind of the hip thing to do. But we let 13-year-olds, we have a pipeline of doctors and lawyers to separate children from their parents so that they can start taking hormones that will change them permanently. But when a 15-year-old kills, her brain can't anticipate consequences. But 13-year-olds can make life-changing decisions about themselves. None of it makes sense. And that's what I talk about on so many of these stories, that everything we do in this region seems to be 180 degrees opposite of reality, of common sense. And I did ask her about the prosecutor. It was very different, Michelle, because she was joyriding and she just was trying to bump and annoy Greg.
Well, and I don't understand that, because the thing that I keep saying is, you know, if I say, hey, Dory, I'm going to tickle you, and then I shoot you in the head with a gun, does that mean I tickled you? It doesn't make any sense. She can say, I'm going to bump him. But if her action results in the death of someone, she wasn't going to bump him. She was going to kill him.
Well, and she likely knew that she killed him. She saw the body fly through the air, and according to family members, she laughed about it. I mean, that's sociopathic.
And I'm pretty sure they turned the car around and took a picture, or at least got out and looked, because I've done the math on the time difference between the cameras, and there's about 30 seconds unaccounted for, more if they were going fast, which they were.
Wow.
And well, I wanted
to give you a chance to respond. If Dan Satterberg is listening right now, what do you want to say to him?
You're not getting reelected.
Michelle Moore. And then one other thing that Dan Satterberg said, in fact, let me find it, because I have this one too. I don't have Michelle's response to this. But he says he does charge some 15-year-olds as adults.
Making the decision to decline a case from juvenile court to adult court is up to a judge, but it does take a request from the prosecutor, and Satterberg is not making a request. He's saving it for the most egregious cases, with the most violent offenders who need to be tracked well after they turn 21.
In fact, we are fighting hard right now to put two 15-year-olds into adult court.
In February 2020, detectives say a 15-year-old nearly stabbed the owner of a Kenmore convenience store to death. Investigators say the teen was angry when he wasn't allowed to buy vape products and came back with a butcher knife. And in June 2019 in Renton, police say a 15-year-old followed a woman off a bus, beat and raped her for hours in a park near the Cedar River.
Okay, the first story, the 15-year-old nearly stabbed a man to death, a clerk to death. I'm glad they're trying both of them as adults. But killing somebody with a car is much less damaging to society than nearly stabbing somebody to death. It's all upside down. Okay, quick timeout, then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the entire week as the Dory Monts Joe rolls on. Down the stretch we come. What a week, what a show, what a show, what a week. And this is the time when we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the week.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Week.
So, Chris Pratt is from our region. He's one of the biggest movie stars in the world, and he's going to be Mario in the new Mario Brothers movie. And I guess some people are upset because he's not Italian. And he addressed all of that.
So when I was a kid, I lived in Lake Stevens, Washington. And there's this coin-operated laundromat near my house. And it had Super Mario Brothers, the original arcade game. Oh, I love that game. I never had a quarter, it felt like. I'd either steal them from the wishing well... You know, that's wild. Just dawned on me right now. The quarter I stole out of the wishing well to play Super Mario Brothers has come true, that I get to be the voice of Mario. But I clearly stole someone else's wish. So just waiting for that row of karma dominoes to come crashing down on me, but as it is right now, it's a me, a Mario. That's not the voice. You'll have to wait to hear the voice, but we've been working hard at it, and I'm really excited to announce that I'm going to be the voice of that video game that I dreamed about playing as a kid. Dreams come true.
Local boy made good. Donald Trump this week was out golfing, and he hit a really nice tee shot, you know, straight and far. And so he combined two of his favorite activities, golfing and slamming Joe Biden.
All right, fellas, here we go.
What a shot.
Beauty.
You think Biden can hit a ball like that?
Oh, no.
He couldn't get it past the first tee.
He forgot where he hit it.
Then you got Justin Trudeau up in Canada, who likes to be one of the most woke country leaders in the world. But... this should spill off his tongue a little more easily then.
I will never apologize for standing up for an LGBTQ2+ kids' rights.
Yeah, you'll never stop that. And then you have, we have on MyNorthwest.com, our county prosecutor, not prosecutor, our county executive, Dow Constantine, at a UW, some campaign event for some guy who works at the UW. I don't know. But they were indoors and they were maskless. Not just Dow, but Dow takes a big smiling picture. And I know he was smiling because he doesn't have a mask on. And the guy he's taking the picture with doesn't have a mask on. They're holding up their husky face mask. And then in the background, nobody is socially distancing. Nobody is wearing a mask. And they tell us what we must do, but they don't even believe what they're telling us because the politicians don't engage in it. Give you an example. London Breed is the mayor of San Francisco, and she was spotted dancing maskless at a club a few nights ago.
I was eating. And I was drinking, and I was sitting with my friends, and everyone who came in there was vaccinated. So the fact that we have turned this into a story about being maskless, no, I'm not going to sip and put my mask on, sip and put my mask on, sip and put my mask on, eat and put my mask on. While I'm eating and I'm drinking, I'm going to keep my mask off. And yes, in the end time, while we're drinking, like everyone else there, we were all having a good time. And again... all vaccinated. So the fact that this is even a story is sad.
Well, she wasn't just eating and drinking. She was dancing without a mask. And the rules are in her city that Eve, vaccinated or not, you got to wear a mask indoors.
A video shows a maskless Breed neither seated at a table nor positioned at a stationary counter, standing and dancing without any food or drinks in her hand. She also posed for photos while not wearing a mask.
Okay, so just to be clear, I was sitting at my table, and when, I don't know about you and whether or not you know who Raphael Saadiq and Dwayne Wiggins are, but I don't know about you, but if you know who they are, I don't care where you're sitting, you're going to get up and start dancing. My drink was sitting at the table. I got up and started dancing because I was feeling the spirit.
Yeah. Man, politicians hate it when we expose them for being the hypocrites they are. And that's why so many people don't trust the rules that you're imposing on us, because Dow, Jay, London, you don't use those rules for yourself. Okay, I got to get out of here. What a week. Thank you for everything. You've participated so much, giving us tips, giving us exclusives. The Tom Curley Show's coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. Have a great weekend. See you Monday. Hi, noon.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You really are a fantastic audience.